I have at least 40, and still counting, persons who are explaining to me that the driver's license is not acceptable because it does not identify the nationality of the owner, the nationality of the person bearing it. Thank you very much for pointing that out to me. And yes, I forgot that the first numbers on your national ID card actually do reflect your date of birth, so I misspoke on that, which is the term that people like to use. It slipped me when I said it didn't show date of birth. Nationality, I take. Thank you for it. The only thing I will say about that is that sometimes persons who have a Barbadian ID card, regardless of their nationality, do get away with accessing medication, because there was a time when the four numbers after your date of birth on the ID card showed that you were non-national. They started with an 8 if you were not a national. And CARICOM nationals, some of them were allowed to access the health service because they were permanent residents, and others were not because they were not permanent residents. Now, I don't know if there was a difference in the card. I think there was also a difference in the background of the color of the background on the ID card, depending on whether you were non-national or not. So I take your points about not showing your nationality. Brass Dex, good afternoon. Hello.
Hello, good afternoon.
Yes, ma'am.
I want to applaud the doctors who spoke out this week. I thoroughly enjoyed the discussions and the debate, and felt that the program sounded more of what a press conference should sound like. And I really want to commend the bravery of those doctors. I heard a caller offering what I would call an academic and clinical perspective on the matter involving the AG. I was quite impressed, I must say that. However, I felt that in that presentation, the caller was somewhat oversimplifying the issue and taken away from the seriousness and complexity of the issue. And the caller should be encouraged to call again and encouraged to make those types of presentations, but sometimes there is more in the detail than what is presented. And finally, I really want to ask this question, since that I heard the station manager of this station endorsing divergent views, more or less suggesting that let all views contend. I want to ask, why are people reverting to the last administration as if the last administration was a benchmark or is a benchmark for what this administration is doing? Because if I'm to understand it correctly, the last administration set no benchmark at all, and it was poor, comparatively poor, compared to the standard that this government, this administration, had set for itself. So to me, to revert to the last administration for almost some kind of, I don't know, I don't even know the word I'm looking for, excuse for why certain things are happening or not happening, or why certain things are failing or not failing, it cannot be used, because you're saying more or less the last administration was poor. So therefore, if you've set a benchmark and a higher standard for yourself, and the people have come to expect that when you fail, people are going to be critical, and people are going to be observing with an eagle eye approach, and they're going to be observing everything you do. So I just want to put that out there, and I want people to understand that when you set yourself high up with high standards and you can do better, then that... And mind you, let me say this. The AG is not responsible for crime. He didn't... When I say responsible for crime, he didn't kill nobody. He didn't send the gangsters out there to rob and to do all kinds of activities. So he himself is not to be blamed. But however, when you politicize an issue and you set yourself high up for a standard, expect to be critiqued. And that's all I have to say on that matter. Thank you very much for hearing me.
Thank you very much as well. Brass Dex, good afternoon.
Dennis, yeah. I don't normally call for regular, but I was forced to call. again today. And I,
you know, people say you're only calling because I on, right?
They said so something, but watch it, Dennis. Now,
and the point is, I ain't taking the call, so John can get more licks.
Yeah, the young gentleman who spoke before the lady, mm-hmm. he knocked me out because he wanted to speak about her. We had one. And he also said some things that I agree with him relative to regular callers, because people tell me regularly on the road, even this morning, a guy stopped me in the gas station and said, I want you ring. Next time you call, stop with so-and-so. I said, but I talk about it, and they ask me a question, then I can't answer because there are things that you might know that I don't know, and then I can't answer for you. My boy not try calling. He said, my third call. I said, no, for half, not for five. They know I don't get you. And I said, regular callers all the time. That is something that happened. That's something that you can't let people know too, that sometimes the lines is be clear. Ain't nobody in there, and you can't do that. You can't say, well, call me now, the line's clear. You understand where you're coming from?
Because unfortunately, listen, my friend, let me tell you something, right? One of the things I've learned from sitting behind this microphone for 25 years, I can't wait to finish, that's the truth, is this. You're damned if you... No, I'm serious, sir. You're damned if you do, and you're damned if you don't. Simple. I remember sitting here and looking at a blank phone. Now, I can't ask John to help me talk. Right?
You know, we got to talk.
Hold on. And then people say, Dennis does talk more than everybody else. Okay? When I shut up, there's call and say, nobody ain't calling he because he has talked too much. Okay? So, when the board full and I having a conversation with somebody, I chucking in my mouth all the time. When I'm producing and there are no calls, I get called to talk to the moderator to stimulate calls. Can't do it with nobody else. So I'm damned if I do, I'm damned if I don't. There are people who like to talk to Peter because he talks politics in a certain way. There are people who talk only to the ladies because they like to hear the ladies' voices and they like to charm them. They only speak to the female moderators. I ain't got a problem with that. If I had my way, I'd only speak to them too.
I'm Muhammad, I'm sir. It's going to talk to you.
But here is the point. And sir, here's the point I'm getting at. When people who quote-unquote like to talk to me, call and talk to me more than once, I get blamed for them calling, and there ain't nothing I could do. Except sit here and say good afternoon when the call comes through. The other thing, the point you're making, though, is one that I understand. Because I have had to change my home number on four occasions. From people calling me at 4 o'clock in the morning, 2 o'clock in the morning, trying to conduct brass tacks when I'm at home.
Yeah.
I don't get paid home to conduct brass tacks.
Yeah,
and people always tell me, I ain't calling you when you're on air because people know my voice. But I want you to do this.
They tell you that.
And I want you to remember the last time you said this. And when you said that, you were wrong. And they're quarreling me when they're trying to make a sandwich and eat.
but I get so many people calling me and telling me to talk about this and talk about the next and talk about the third, especially the last thing talk about with the roundabout.
The roundabout.
It's about the monkey foolish thing up there. The dead person.
Is that where the accident happened?
Just shortly around that area. But let me give you a short one quick that I wanted, but that the man blow my thunder on it. I want to ask the person in authority, know that everything is slow. Why don't it start? Start doing Highway 1. That's all I wanted to put in with that. That was that. And then this man come and talk about Highway 7. But that's not my main thing for calling today. When you read the front page of today's paper, is what makes me call. I can ask you two questions before you get away again. I know I'm not going to go down the wrong road because as a trained person, I should know how far to go or how far not to go. If I had given you a course in, let me see, carpentry, and I sent you overseas to do the latest in technology when it comes to carpentry, and I bring you back to work for me, and because I told you the tools that you're giving me are not adequate, do you think you should move me and put me over in the section to cut grass or be a mason? Let me go. Don't answer that yet.
My answer to that is no, sir.
Good. No, I bring you in. You come in here, you join this establishment, you are a dog handler. You went and trained how to deal with dogs. You learn how to take dogs from point A to point B, and you are training all the dogs. You can go to every dog that is in that compound, and you take them to different places to identify things. You're a dog handler.
Mm-hmm.
Because I said that we need proper kennels that these dogs could breathe properly and have proper facilities to lay down, you think you should move me and put me to ride a motorbike?
Sir, but the problem that I have with what you've said is this. How do we know that that is the reason? And that's why you talk about ascribing motive.
That's what you're getting wrong to know. That's what I'm getting wrong to know. Now, you could only speculate that that's the reason why he put you to ride motorbike.
Correct.
Because you don't know if that is true or not. Mm-hmm. It could be true. You have somebody coming from. So that situation that I'm looking at, and you have, you remember one time when they transferred to Crab Hill, they say, because you had bad behavior.
It was called sending you to Siberia, sending you to count paper clips and rubber bands in the back somewhere. I will say again what I said before, right? Mm. Here's what I'll say before. This whole question about public sector reform, this whole thing that we've made a big issue of with at least three different administrations, Owen Arthur, the Democratic Labour Party under David Thompson, then under Fondell Stewart, and then now under this Priebus, this current Mayor Motley administration, perhaps even going before that, need to have proper administration in the public service. We need to have people do reports on a regular basis on their performance.
Yeah.
And based on performance appraisals, you have...
Identify your job, identify your quality.
Correct. Job descriptions. And this thing that Caswell Franklin keeps talking about, where you act in the position of acting superintendent for the last 5 years, when it's time to confirm somebody in the thing, they say, well, we need somebody who has a degree in programming, because we have somebody, and because you don't have the qualification, but we have somebody who is not a superintendent with the qualification,
who's never acted,
who jumps over your head. Those kinds of accusations, those are the accusations we need to remove from it, because it spoils
frustration,
morale, image of the force. You could go down the whole line, sir. And it undermines confidence. It undermines confidence in the institution.
You're not going to work. You've got to be comfortable at anything you've got to do. The moment that there's the slightest discrepancy, the slightest thought of things not running the correct way. And you know what something, too? When I first joined the force, I always heard, you do and complain later. You know what I mean? You complain. That complaint, right? Nobody don't pay the money.
But why?
And you know, not only that, Mr. Dennis, if you complain for me as a policeman, I get more harsh. People don't know that. I get more pressure on me in the force from the administration.
But why?
Then you would get from me, a member of the force, complaining for you as a civilian. But a lot of people don't know that. And then you can get suspended. You get suspended for 10 and 15 years. You want from suspension and half faith. The case ain't coming up in a hurry.
Based on what? Let me ask you a question. As a former wearer of the uniform, sorry to unmask you. That's the word now.
Everybody know me. Everybody knows it's already. Hang on, I know.
Oh, you ain't got no mask. Okay. Years old. You should wear a mask.
At 78, no, you have lived a good life.
Let me ask you this question. We have an army. We had a regiment. We still have a regiment. We have a Coast Guard. They have disciplinary procedures. They have court martials. They have rank. Why is it the police service seems not to be able to be organized along the same lines of the other disciplined force, which is the army? What's the difference? Other than the fact that one in the public eye all the time and the other one tends not to be. What's the difference? Do they have the same problems and they don't come out in the public?
That is it. Because what happens, right, is that once a policeman is found for doing the slightest thing, it just gets spread all around. If a soldier is caught for doing something, or
a Coast Guard,
they internally give it, and we don't know. You don't know that.
Man, they do. I see them in the newspaper these days in handcuffs and things too, and in full uniform.
Very few. But yes, you know how many policemen were on half their leave for long time in cases till they're pending.
But
they
why?
Don't want them to get rid of them.
But why? Don't you have a police service? Don't you have a police service commission? Don't you have a police complaints department?
Dennis, let me tell you something, right? I was given the opportunity to do something. some time back in 1990.
Careful, careful.
Right? Mm-hmm. And I know I got it going training lines slow. I was given something to do in 1990
mm-hmm.
to do.
Mm-hmm.
I only knew in late 91, back 1992, mm-hmm. that you should start doing this. But there's something I order was sent for you to stop doing this here since 6 months ago. I didn't know. Nobody tell me. And I just think I'm not doing it. You get where you're coming from. Things be real smooth, move slowly in the police force and things. And I think you can get frustrated real easy. But don't mind how frustrated the policemen are. They still got to do the job.
Sir, I have found that I
know. It's a difficult task.
I know there are bad eggs in every organization.
In every organization.
And
that
I will not.
But we still have the best police force in the world.
I know some good police officers, sir. And I know some of them have walked away. And
they can't walk because they're not going to do nothing.
They don't have anything to do.
It's frustrating. And listen, then if you can't, sometimes listen. I saw a video that told me he worked night shift, like 8:45 in the morning. Mm-hmm. I used to be up here selling black children. He was going to eat some money. He went to a particular scene and the detective went to do this and do the next thing. He also now, so I didn't have time here. I had to go back and bring a quick nap for him because he's still on the scene and a blue, not black, long sleeve children that weren't night shift. You think he could feel good? He got an extra pair for that. He got to finish. He could have seen that scene. He's supposed to be down at 11. He got to see that scene at 10:30. And it's a fair lot. See, you know, I started at 2 and 3 and 4 o'clock till all the friends that coming, all that kind of thing done.
Well,
you don't hear nobody praising him up.
A former police officer, a former member of the force says here to me, since 1973, I was exposed to performance appraisals and development. These annual reviews decided promotions, salary increases, training. I'm therefore shocked that no such thing exists or not used in the public service. And from the photograph accompanying that picture, that comment, I think that person was a member of the force. So I don't know what happened in the interim. Look, let me say to you, this country has produced some officers
brilliant.
Who I think
brilliant.
Are excellent
fantastic.
Representatives brilliant. Of what the Barbados police force could be.
And with the resources they got, the amount of crime that they solve, that mean you got to be, you got to get a real praise.
And
real,
I think
real,
the image...
We solve at least 90% of our crime.
And I think the image of the big, black, ignorant police officer who beat you over your head was dispelled over 30 or more years ago. So the fellows who wear the uniform should be proud and they should remember what it is they represent and try to stay away from the temptations.
Remember that those younger ones coming up now or those who joined the force over the last 15 or 20 years had to get a lot of exposure from some of the older policemen and how they operated then. I mean, the system works differently now than it used to work then. But we had that more community relationship in the force and we used to be able to dialogue with the fellow that was relieving us. Like you make it should be at the night or day shift. Since you have a 3-shift system, sometimes they go off at 10 o'clock or 11 o'clock and they know who might relieve me or who come and relieve. Therefore, we'd be able to, we could go in the barracks and reminisce, talk about crime, talk about traffic, give our experiences among each other. Now, a fella got to read it for himself to find out. And if you don't listen to the older folks who telling him, giving him the experience, ain't going to get no better.
Gotcha, sir.
Make it better.
Brass Decks, good afternoon. Hey, hello. 4341-790 Brass Decks, good afternoon. Okay, that's another one gone. Hello.
Good afternoon to you and your workers and also to everybody in Barbados. I hear my voice.
Thank you, sir.
I'm not one of your regular callers.
Good to have you then.
But what I'm saying is this week snow is trying to get on. But I want to tell you...
Thanks for being persistent.
I enjoy your regular callers. So don't knock them off. They usually give a lot of good food for thought. So don't get confused with them. I enjoy them. I don't ever. If I don't get on, I still enjoy what they say.
They say, fair enough.
You know what I mean? So mm-hmm. don't get too confused with the regular callers. It's a lot of very edifying and thing revealing a lot of truth. What I'm saying is on a sad note.
Mm-hmm.
I think that the National Insurance Company scheme was set up. Like how the police force was set up, to protect the ones that have and take from who can afford. I'm saying this because, like the self-employed person, I open a company. I have my schedules to prove what I'm saying. I opened a company in 1998, self-employed.
Mm-hmm.
I tried to find out how much I had as a maximum to pay because they were saying about your benefits. I was told, I probably been misinformed, $750. I have my schedule to say what I'm saying.
Mm-hmm.
From January, I was paying $750 per week. You know, the schedules are nice by the week.
Right.
Claiming it was the maximum. I was told in November, no, the maximum in paying is $715. So it went on to $715 in November. I have the schedules here that's sending. If you want to mark me to come and prove it, I can prove what I'm saying. In 2001, I had a problem at work, and I make a claim.
Mm-hmm.
They told me that self-employed people cannot be paid benefits. I tried to find out then why I was paying so much and what I was paying for.
Mm-hmm.
The lady told me she would have to give me the breakdown. Today, up to now, I haven't had a breakdown. And obviously, I do not know how a self-employed person can be paying even sometimes more than what you normally pay for your normal workers, and you don't know what you're paying it for. It is something that is wrong with this thing. Because if you go self-employed, all the self-employed people get involved. A man get involved, he drive a company, he get paid through his company. The self-employed person doesn't exist. He cannot get no benefits. It is really ridiculous. You're asking what you're paying towards, and you cannot get an explanation.
That is the question I was going to ask you. When they told you the maximum amount to contribute, did they say this is for your pension, or did they say this is for pension, sickness benefit, unemployment benefit, or did they just say that's the maximum you could?
No, you could? I left. I'm telling you, I leave a bank
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
and I open a company.
Right.
So knowing exactly that they know you pay up the person who pay, they pay the maximum of insurance.
Mm-hmm. But did you ask them insured for what?
No, that's what I'm saying.
Right.
You know, you knew that, in other words, you take it for granted that you were paying.
That you're covered for everything.
And you know, they tell you all the time, join the insurance. Join, it's correct. For your future.
Right.
It's for your future. It comes over all the time as an ad.
Mm-hmm.
That you join it. You don't see it join it by yourself. And so you're not entitled to this. No, they don't break down that to you. They just tell you to join.
Right.
It is for your future.
And I think they meant future. I think future they meant pension.
You hear what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Even now, you hear the ad. It don't tell you self-employed people don't entitled. It's
to
only when you get a problem that you know
right.
that what that you're not covered for. I asked when they told me that I would not, as a self-employed, receive benefits. I asked for breakdown for what I was paying insurance for so much.
Right.
$715.
And what
they said? I got my facts to show you.
And what did they say?
If you want to see it, you can see them. I got all the schedules here.
But what did they say when you asked them that question?
They're going to get back to me.
Have they done so?
Never did. Up to now, you don't know what your month is paid for. Let them break down what the self-employed person is paid for so you will know where you want to pay it.
Correct.
Or how much you want to pay towards what they say you're paying for.
And what you can get. And what you can get when you claim.
What you can claim. All you got to add to you is for your future. You go as a self-employed person and join up. You spend all your money, you don't know where you're paying it towards. Let them break down what you're paying it towards. It is a real, I believe it's set up, that's how the police force was set up, just to protect those that. And up to today, I do not know what I pay towards.
What it is you contributed to.
What I contributed towards. This is not going around the bush and talking. The gentleman who contributed just now said the sewage thing have a good idea, but he must recognize that Barrow started the sewage system started in 1972. So obviously, if it was no proper advancement and adding, he was saying adding to it, which caused the problem. It was nothing to do constantly. We only had two governments running, and if both of them are to be blamed, because that system started in 1972.
So you know what's unfortunate about the South Coast Sewage Project and the comments that and the things that happened? Going back to when the Reverend Andrew Hatch was a moderator on this program, uh-huh. That's years ago.
I got papers.
One of the things that,
right,
one of the things he said on more than one occasion when the South Coast Sewage Project was being developed was why they were pumping the water off of Needham's Point when they could have tapped that treated water and used it for irrigation and other purposes. About maybe 5 years after the project was complete, there were then studies done and figures given to how much it would cost to turn those pipes back inland to bring back the treated water from off of Needham's Point. At one point, it was even mooted that they would use the old tanks by the old Mobile refinery to store the water in it. That was before they decided to put a conference center and expand the Hilton and all the other things. So these questions about what this sewage plant was capable of doing and what we were spending money on at the time came up before. But as one of the callers pointed out, or one of the WhatsApp messages I got, when you approach international agencies for loans and grants to do certain things, they put conditions that sometimes make you change your view of what you want to do. So we say we want to do this, and they say, well, I could only give you money for that, so we go along with them. But we don't seem to be able to say, this is what we should do, get the best advice, and work to have it done. That South Coast Sewage Project had collapses, had water going into the basement of hotels. There were people injured on the job. Contractors were changed. All sorts of things happened on that. We still have to do the West Coast. And when the caller mentioned digging up the whole process now that we've done all the expansions of the South Coast, and who knows what else we come up with. When the contractors said they would have no dig method, that was stopped. Sir, it is unfortunate that when we do developments in Barbados, we don't seem, as the general public, to know everything that goes along with the project and how it will affect us in the long run. The Hilton was remodeled and rebuilt. We have several hotels that are due to be built along the South Coast, heading right into Bridgetown. The disruption to traffic, the extra use of sewage facilities, the extra use of water. People keep throwing up those questions all the time. You have virtual town halls, you have rail town halls, and sometimes the questions are not answered. When those things happen, it is not until we have a problem that we suddenly realize, you know, we should have done this or we should have done that. Just as the national insurance that you highlighted, that when you signed up, they said the maximum is X without telling you X covers you for this, it does not cover you for that, it will not cover you for this. And those are the things we need to find out when we go forward with our investments. What does it cost? What are we paying for? What will we get? And once we get those answers, we should be okay.
It's only with an injury that I knew what I wasn't getting.
Yeah.
But up to then, I didn't know what I am to get.
Correct.
That is unfortunate.
And then when you're injured on the job and you're the sole operator, I'm just asking this. Let's say, for example, you're a machine operator and a machine falls on your hand. There's no one in the room but you. How do you prove it's not your negligence? How do you prove that it's the machine that injured your hand? You know, proof becomes your burden in addition to the injury. Whereas if you work in an environment where you got people around you, you can take, you know, various people's words and say, look, we slipped and fell. This, the floor was wet, and so on and so on. It's one of the challenges, sir. It is one of the challenges for self-employed, banking.
That the beauty that we had only two parties govern us since the
1966.
We could start from 61.
61, correct.
Right. Well, we had two parties, and all told them blame.
They didn't use that word.
for being corrupt.
They accused each other of corruption without saying what.
From each other. And as you can remember, with Duffus Commission, it started from there. And each time you changed, you don't find the houses the other one built. The buses come in, the prices were different. The stuff truck come in, the price was different. The other one come out, and we only got two sets of people left. We have to calculate it that have agreed, not that really the population. The two parties agree that both of them are.
Yeah.
I asked Commission, why don't he get a party to run?
So he won't.
Because he tried one time before.
He won't.
Come, no, but you know, he told me personally, he would know. He said to me, Rev, you either have to be a B or a D. He said the B's are supported by this, the D's are supported by this, and you have to see which one getting into jam.
Fair enough, sir.
What he said to me.
I got to tell you, the challenge with starting a party is that you got to root it first. And in the current environment, it may take you 15, 20 years to do that. If you want to labor in the wilderness, you can. The comment says he does not pay that element of employment injury or self-employment. Each person is given a booklet that has all the information. A self-employment contribution is payable for sickness benefit, contributory old age benefit, and all other levies that the regular contributor pays for. You never get a package unless a booklet is enclosed. Brass Tacks, good afternoon. Hello.
Hello.
Hi.
Hello, Mr. Johnson.
Yes, ma'am.
Very nice speaking to you.
It's good to hear you, ma'am.
Yeah. Now, what I wanted to say, the guy that spoke about 4 callers ago when he was talking about the callers and the regular callers, what I would say is if you can have, like, the new people coming in, let's say Tuesdays and Thursdays, let the regular one rest off and they do Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, I feel that would help. Somewhat, the new ones come Tuesdays and Thursdays.
What if you gave a party and nobody came?
Pardon me?
What if you gave a party and nobody came?
Well, then, if they realize that no new ones ain't coming, they're going to fall in then.
Yeah, and that, ma'am,
I know.
Ma'am, which is what I want to tell you, right? Trust me when I say to you, we have tried that.
Okay.
And the regular callers call each other and say, you know what? We ain't calling on the day they give us the call. Let me see what they can do. Trust me on that one. Just trust me on it. I always tell my female, the females in my life, don't trust the man when he say trust me, right? But trust me on that. Trust me on that one. I break in my... Look, ma'am, let me say to you that the regular callers to radio in Barbados are a very tight organization. They know each other. They sometimes get together and plan how they strategize on who they will tackle, what they will tackle them on. If you listen to the calling program, I produce, that's what I do, more often than moderate. I listen. I could tell you when there have been arranged calls to specific moderators for a specific purpose. I could sit in that chair that John is in and tell you so. There are times sitting here when I know I'm under attack too. And that's when I usually either break out the laugh or, you know, try to annoy the person that annoying me. But
okay, another thing.
It is something we have to try to manage, though.
Yeah. Another thing. I want the MP for St. John to know that he's not just the MP for Sherbourne and Pot House. I think he's the entire MP for the entire St. John. Now, they have a problem there close to my mommy Rose Gate, where this big hole developed. They have a cannonade tree, big set of trees grow up in the road, and it's getting wider. It's going from one side of the road to the other. Now, there's some elderly people that live beyond this road. They have a little track close there that they will try to walk, but the road is getting wider. Now, they will go through there so that they don't want to walk the front road because the traffic comes up on the front road so fast, right? He went one time when they highlighted it in the paper and said he's going to do something. Then Mr. Johnson, he ain't come back yet. And the rainy season supposed to be starting from next month. Election around the corner, and I know he's going to run and come back. I want him to know that not only Park House and Sherbourne voted for him, people look that say voted for him too. So he's the MP for Oak Road here as well.
Everybody.
Everybody. And another thing with the water. You can imagine big Mother's Day that just gone. They're turning off the water every day after 2 o'clock and saying, and they could at least say they ain't gonna do it Sunday, but even when earlier on Sunday after 12 o'clock when people they cannot go to no luncheon and such like and should be home now preparing a nice meal, water gone off and then it ain't coming on till 6 and 10 in the morning. I know other people suffering, but they could have let it stay on Sunday. That is what you think.
Okay, ma'am. Thank you very much for joining us. It's good to hear a fresh voice every once in a while. Brass Tacks, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Mr. Dennis Johnson.
How are you, sir?
How are you good?
Mr. Regular Caller, sir.
As I put on this phone, call all of my friends.
And tell them don't call.
And tell them boycott you.
Me, Lord, for me.
You let no things that.
That I'm not supposed to let out? I'm sorry, yeah? I get paid for my mouth, apparently, or not to keep it shut. Yes, sir?
I called to speak on a particular issue, but mm-hmm. you know that I keep that one with
the station manager?
Lord people mm-hmm. for you, right? And mm-hmm. they're keeping it for Sanka, but Sanka...
he was hijacked and moved up the batting order this week.
Right. So the truth is, I hope you recognize when I tell you, and this is not my main thing, when I tell you on the last time I spoke to you about self-employed people wanted mm-hmm. to pay and the problem that they have with this injury benefit
and
the
sickness,
I mm-hmm. want you to know, and I hope you recognize from that last caller that speak about self-employed people, that self-employed people want to pay the taxes. They want to pay in to the NAS. They want to do that, you know. But it's that little clause there that got a lot of my fellow self-employed people disadvantaged. Anyhow, let me go to this main thing that I want to talk about, right?
Mm-hmm.
The minister put on a designer suit with two or three people, and he decided to go and see in the supermarkets last week or earlier this week to see this whole issue about price gouging. Dennis, mm-hmm. I don't know about you, but I am telling you that I am no better off. I don't know. I am no further enlightened. I don't know if I get in my eyes still dig out, or I don't know if I paying here for a fair price for an item. The minister, who is the minister responsible for price control, Mr. Sullivan.
There is no price control in Barbados, sir.
Well, fair enough. But he said that he going to see about this price gouging thing.
Mm-hmm.
And if, look, I know a soft drink, I know a single soft drink should not sell for no more in Barbados than $3. I know that is stealing for a soft drink. Agree?
Mm-hmm.
That was legislated. No more. I know gasoline was legislated. Not supposed to sell.
Gasoline is controlled, yeah.
I know gasoline not supposed to sell for a particular price per gallon or per liter.
Correct, because that's controlled.
But when the minister, and that's what got me confused, and that's why I'm asking you if you're confused or are you enlightened, or are you like me? When the minister put on his designer suit and went into a couple of supermarkets this week or last week.
You like the man right? suit or what?
I am saying to you, I am no better off. I don't know if I'm paying too much for an item, or I don't know if I get in a fair deal, or I don't know if I get in a bargain. I am saying when you do that, when you make this sort of blanket statements that there is price gouging or there's not price gouging, I want to see like comparing with like. I want to know what the price of a corned beef is supposed to be at a supermarket, what it's supposed to be at Octomark, and I want to know what it's supposed to sell retail for at a corner shop.
Sir, there is nothing in Barbados that could do that.
Hold on, let me land the plane. And I want to know, right, the ceiling. That's all I want to know, the ceiling, whether I bear at Sandy Lane or whether I bear at the corner shop run by me. I want to know the ceiling.
Let me tell you again what I've been trying to say just now when I let you land the plane. There is no structure in Barbados to tell you that.
Right.
Because there is no structure that says what a tin of corned beef should be. There's no structure that says what a box of cornflakes should be. There is no price control in Barbados except for gasoline and items from the petroleum sector. Let me tell you what we're faced with. We're faced with two things. One, we're faced with people who have raised their prices because the items they're sourcing have gone up at source.
Mm-hmm.
We are facing price increases because people have to sometimes hire planes to get produce in. Let me give you an example. I was looking for it on my phone. On the 30th of March, a certain item was retailing for $59.94. On the 14th of April, it was $244.08. Now, you could say that's price gouging. or the person could give you some long explanation as to why it went from that to $244. Unless you have price controls in place, the minister cannot determine whether supermarket X should sell bottled water for $5 and village shop Y should sell it for $7 or for $4.95.
Dennis?
Because we have price control. Yes, sir?
Dennis?
Yes, sir?
I will say this to you, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, that is what I understand it to be.
All right.
So when you tell me that you're going in a supermarket, you understand me, and look at these items, what you're really telling me?
That you're going to monitor the price?
You're going on the guise that, hey, you hear about price gouging, so you're going to see FDS price gouging. When there's really no proper structure in place for sealing of products.
Correct.
You understand? So your mama, you live in Trinidad and you know where mama got you. Right? So your
mama. No one knows the Trinidad woman who do that to you.
Huh? Let's start with my man.
Sorry. Okay, I understand what you mean. Look, let me say it to you, right? That you have been around politics long enough to know what optics are. That people do things because it's, you know, it shows that you're taking an interest in what's happening. It's political. You walk through the supermarket, you talk to people, you hear what their concerns are, and you look at the prices and you say, I will come back and check again. See if there's movement, and then hopefully you'll ask why. I find it a step in a good direction that we actually have a Ministry of Commerce that seems to be checking on commerce. Now, I wait to see how far they take it, because there are several things that I think a Ministry of Commerce should check on. The plastic chairs that do not carry a weight limit is one of the things that I keep talking about, so we'll see what happens. General ideas, prices going up, I could tell you that prices have increased, and as I said, it could be a lot of reasons. We'll see what happens. The term gouging, I don't think we could prove that at the moment. But thank you for your contributions on this, the Thursday edition of Down to Brass Tacks. And be good until we talk again. Thank you, John, for taking care of things technical. On behalf of the team, have a good afternoon.